From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Carl Franklin introducing show number 48 with guest Chad Jones, recorded February 27th, 2008. Run As Radio is produced by Plot Productions, offering professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com.
Hi, this is Richard Campbell, and you're listening to Run As Radio. And with me, as always, Greg Hughes.
Hey, how's it going?
I have had an epic morning.
Yeah, you did, and I got the instant message play-by-play.
That's right. I came into the office this morning. We had a couple of shows to record, and the machine that does all the recording, my main workstation, was out. And when I tried to power it up, it wouldn't power up. Turned out the power supply failed. So with 20 minutes before showtime, I had a spare power supply, so I tried to swap it out. And it took a little longer than that, but the guest was patient, which was good. And then what else went wrong? Oh, I plugged in the wrong hard drive and it tried to boot up on a volume from 2006.
And for some reason, the password and the domain just...
Oh, it wouldn't log into the domain because it was too old. You know, Kerberos was doing its thing. But, you know, it's funny how symptoms are so far removed from the actual problem. The fact that right. I was booting on an old hard drive rather than the regular hard drive. So it was a 2006 instance. So you know everything had changed by then. And the domain knew it and just said, no way, you can't log in.
Right. I was asking you, hey, you know, switch is powered on, domain controller online.
And it was definitely one of those experiences where I could have made this so much worse by messing around with the domain controller and all that sort of thing. And what it really was, was I was booting on the wrong drive.
Yep. So everything was good and we were able to move on.
Crazy, crazy morning for me. But we got the shows done. So all is well. And if you've got any questions, concerns, ideas, things you want to see or hear, rather, on Run As Radio, send us an email, info@runasradio.com.
It's your input that makes this show what it is.
All right, Greg, let's introduce our guest. Chad Jones is currently a senior product manager in the Windows Client Product Management Group. He is responsible for Microsoft Application Virtualization, formerly SoftGrid products, available in the Microsoft Desktop Optimization Pack for Software Assurance. Mr. Jones joined Microsoft through the acquisition of Sofricity, a Boston-based ISV. He is one of the creators of Sofricity's second-generation platform, SoftGrid. As a senior director product strategy, he contributed in several key areas within Sofricity, including strategic product planning, technical evangelism, companion product engineering, customer design reviews, and market definition and positioning. He was also responsible for the creation of the Return on Virtualization Calculator, which Forrester Research approved as the first accepted return on investment model for virtual applications. And Mr. Jones currently holds 11 industry certifications and 2 degrees and is considered an expert in the application virtualization field. Just the guy we were looking for. Welcome, Chad.
Well, thank you very much, Richard. I'm very pleased to be here.
Virtualization has been a huge topic on Run As Radio. We've talked about it over and over again because there's so many different types. And of course, it's evolving very rapidly. But I don't know that we've really done justice to application virtualization. So why don't we start right at the top? What are we talking about when we talk about application virtualization?
Well, it's a good question because, as you said, virtualization has so many different facets to it today. You know, most people, when they think of virtualization, they think of hardware virtualization, which is personified through Microsoft, you know, Hyper-V or Virtual Server. And, of course, there's some third-party products out there as well that do that.
Well, I'll say VMware because I'm allowed to.
But the chip they implanted doesn't allow me to say
that. Yeah, you know, that's the when you get those implants, there's rules, right? And also Zen. I mean, there's a bunch of products out here. And you're right. I think that's what most people think of with virtualization, which is big machines, lots of processors, lots of RAM running multiple copies of operating systems, each with its own little twist.
Right. Well, you know, the key concept in that, though, is really the abstraction that occurs in that type of technology and virtualization as a whole. So when you think in virtual machine terms, you're recreating hardware and allowing different operating systems to have their own isolated environment. And really, that's what the core of virtual machine virtualization is, really.
Right.
But what we're doing is taking that abstraction concept and applying it now above the kernel and to applications. So when you think about an application, typically when it installs itself, it intertwines itself into the registry, into the operating system, and really welds itself into that environment so that it is now wired to do that specific application functionality.
Right.
But what we're doing with application virtualization is we're able to abstract away the dependencies of the application, just short of operating system services, and then execute those in a protected and isolated environment in memory so that even though the application is running using the resources of the PC, if you look at the operating system, it actually doesn't change that host operating system. So if I've got Word 2003 running, you know, I'll be able to see winword.exe in my process viewer. But if I went down to the registry and I looked for HK Local Machine Software Microsoft and I looked for the office keys, they actually wouldn't exist.
Sounds
right.
Like I could run multiple versions of Word if I wanted to, different versions of the program over the years. If for some reason I needed to be able to do that, is that something, if you're running a protected space, does it let me do that?
Absolutely. So just like you can run multiple operating systems and different flavors of operating systems through virtual machine technology, application virtualization technology allows you to run different versions of applications that would normally conflict, but allow you to do it on the same operating system instance. So now I can run Office 2007 next to Office 2003, next to Office XP, next to Office 2000, next to Office 97, and have no conflicts. And, you know, that further extends into third-party software as well, certainly
right.
Oracle drivers, Java runtime environment. You know, it's pretty amazing that Java was supposed to be the write once, run everywhere type of technology, and it was future-proof, forward available, all of those things. Unfortunately, we found that a lot of customers are having issues with their Java runtime environments that are now really dependent upon a specific version of Java. So now application virtualization from Microsoft can really help with that issue because I can run Java 1.3 next to 1.4 next to 1.5, and I don't have to worry about changing class paths and all those sorts of things to make that actually occur.
Now, didn't Citrix start this whole thing off with something? I guess of course, Microsoft now it's terminal services, right? Isn't that really where this began?
Well, it's kind of an interesting concept. I think that really Citrix back in the mid-90s with
right.
its WinView and WinFrame, and then eventually with the deal with Microsoft that brought us NT4 Terminal Services Edition, they were the ones to actually start with abstracting away the application from the client system. However, what they're doing is what we term at Microsoft presentation virtualization. So really, Terminal Services is taking the application and executing an installed application on a server, and then just virtualizing the graphical user interface and the mouse and keyboard strokes and projecting that across the network.
Right, so transmitting what it needs to render the screen and receiving the keyboard and mouse strokes, and that's all that gets traveled over the wire.
Exactly. So really, it's still installed. It's just installed on the server, but the client is unchanged. But that's different than application virtualization. Application virtualization delivers the application functionality to the client, to the Microsoft AppVert client. And if it's on the PC, it's actually executing using the local resources of that PC without changing that PC as well. That application is actually running just as if it was installed locally. It can interface with different devices without having to do, you know, drive remappings and all those types of things, see printers and all of those things. So it's not really a projection of the UI like terminal services and presentation virtualization, it is the app functioning using the resources of that local machine. And here's a twist for you too. Actually, the Microsoft application virtualization client can run on terminal servers as well. So I can deliver that application and take care of, you know, conflict issues and things like that to a terminal server, and then RDP or ICA, if you're using Citrix, will remote redraw that screen.
And I certainly remember back into the 90s with Citrix servers where you pretty much, that environment was very delicate. You didn't want to run multiple applications on that Citrix server. It was dedicated to an app and a configuration. And so I guess the combination is the best of both worlds, that I now could run multiple apps and share that machine much more diversely. And if I need presentation virtualization so that I get away from pushing anything to the client, then that option is available.
Absolutely. You know, it was interesting to watch the rise of the application service provider. And certainly that's where in my previous lives I came from, and hence one of the main influence on Softricity and the SoftGrid product as well when we originally created that. But originally you looked at the web application curve. Hey, everything in 10 years is going to be a web application. Easy, centralized management, just rewriting web apps. Well, a lot of people tried to do that through the 90s. Some were successful. Some applications just don't lend themselves very well to that. So we had the bell curve of apps that could be changed into web apps were, and then the majority of them, however, were not. And then we had server-based computing, which is terminal services, where everyone was like, well, I can centralize this. I can extend the life of my PC and my client, because 80% of all thin clients were actually PCs, and put all my apps back into this terminal services environment, and that'll be good. Well, it went through a bell curve as well, where, you know, you could only get so many applications in a terminal server before conflicts started happening. And then you started, every time there's a conflict with an application, you had to break out another set of servers. And then that server sprawl started happening. And as I quoted, 80% of all thin clients were PCs anyway. So now there's this bell curve on the back half said, well, I've got some apps that may run on terminal services and others that still need to go to my thin or to my thick client. Well, now we're moving into application virtualization, and that's really where you have the best of both worlds, where I can deliver an application virtually with server-based computing principles, instant availability, non-changing of the client operating system, central management, thin layer of client on that on the actual Windows platform. But then I can actually get the full benefit of distributed processing by delivering that application where it's needed to be processed.
Sounds like it makes for a pretty flexible environment, potentially, if you have a large number or small or large number of employees or users who might float from one machine to another. Are you able to sort of, I guess, dynamically deliver the application to wherever that user is?
Yes, that's correct. Actually, we, in our centralized connected model, where we have our main management servers, publishing servers, and streaming delivery servers, we're able to assign the right to run an application through an Active Directory group.
Gotcha.
So now, when a user comes to a domain connected system, whether it's a terminal server system, a Vista, Windows Vista system, Windows XP, terminal server, any of those environments, or hosted desktop, because we now have this, hosted concept where I have, instances of Windows Vista that are hosted on top of Hyper-V, and then you have a connection broker to connect to those. It's interesting. It's kind of almost like the server-based computing bell curve is starting over again, if you will, but we think there's a lot of interest in there as well. Anyway, if you think back to the roaming scenarios, you have roaming profiles today.
Right.
That's pretty cool. I can move my preferences, as I travel across to different devices, things like that. And that's great. However, the roaming profile scenario is missing a key aspect, and that's the applications. Because the roaming scenario always assumes that the applications are present on the system that the users are logging into. And that's simply not the case due to so many of the different issues that we know in managing applications today with conflict and delivery and all of those types of things. However, with Microsoft Application Virtualization, you now can round out that roaming scenario because the applications will roam with the user wherever they go. So if I have, let's say I'm on my normal desktop connected PC during the day, I've got my virtualized applications, I've got my Word 2007, my Office 2007, my Office 2003, I'm using those. Well, for some reason, I trip and spill my coffee on my PC and it goes pop, right? Well, normally you'd have to get a new PC, install those applications, and then, eventually a day or two later, depending upon how agile your IT department is, you'll eventually be back online with your system. But with application virtualization, instead of having to worry and wait about getting that new system, you simply go over to the cube next to yours or the next office, and there's maybe a system connected to the domain that user's not there for the day. You simply log in with your credentials, your preferences show up, your virtual applications are published to you, and then when you use them, just enough of them are delivered to actually use the functionality as you need it, and away you go. So now I can do simple replacement of my PC by going to another PC, or maybe if I just go home that night, I log into a terminal server because that's my company's remote access solution. Great. Log in a terminal server with my same credentials, and those virtual applications appear on that terminal server, and I get those apps and with my preferences. Along those lines, I haven't had to pre-populate that software to any of those systems to make that happen.
I think about it from the, you know, my past experience managing IT departments and the cost associated with really two key things. One of those is setting up computers with custom, you know, apps per user and not having to do that anymore. Set it up in one place and stream that. The cost savings with that could be huge. I can also think of a couple of situations where conflicting corporate software just issues that just could not be solved. And it sounds like what you're saying is this is really the environment for, instead of using it, maybe not even use it just because you need it in isolated instances, but maybe use it by default. Don't even worry about conflicts.
Absolutely. We find that a lot of our customers are interested either in it for strategic reasons or for tactical reasons. You know, tactically they have a few apps that conflict and they need to get that resolved. Others are looking at strategically saying, well, hey, this is a way for me to rapidly deploy applications and simplify the management of the life cycle and approach it from that point of view. We quickly find that the tactical users change their mindset after solving their base tactical issue. They change their mindset into a strategic point of view, because now you really don't have to do a lot of those steps in planning to roll out that application. You know, we think about the term regression testing. Now, in the application virtualization world, you know, regression testing is a huge part of the value add of the technology. Without application virtualization, if I'm going to roll out an application to a new terminal server or PC, typically you take a PC, put on the image, load the, let's say, 40 applications that are assigned in the target group I want to add that new application. Then I load that 41st app, that new application, and then I test app 1. Did it break? No. App 2, did it break? No. App 3, so on and so forth. Well, you get to app 39, and all of a sudden something broke. Now, you don't know what that is, so you have to spend more time to go figure out what the problem is, and then you have to mitigate that issue as well, whether it's common component, DLL, hell, registry issue, all of those things. But along those same lines, you've also wasted the time going from application 1 to 37 to realize that nothing's wrong. It's really the question that drives us, and it's, you know, not what is the matrix in application management. You know, it's really more, will it break? Will my update, my new application, or my termination, removal of an app, because it always gets that common component dialog box question that you sit there and move your mouse back and forth 100 times over yes and no before you decide, right? Do you want to remove this common component? If I say yes, what else am I breaking?
Right.
If I say no, what's going to trip me up down the road that I'm not going to be able to test for, because I'll forget about that component. App virtualization helps with all of these issues.
So for the record, we now have the Borg and the Matrix, so we can try for some kind of trifecta by the time we get to the end.
Yeah, what are we missing?
I don't know. I think that's yet to be determined. We'll find out.
We'll get a Battlestar Galactica reference in there somewhere.
There you go.
That would be pretty perfect.
So then I'm trying to get to this, to the name SoftGrid, but I guess it's this idea that each of these applications is living in an island so that it can't conflict with the other.
For the most part. Now, the original term SoftGrid was actually along the terms of the lines of a software grid.
Right.
So a generic set of computing devices where applications were able to roam just in time to meet the application computing needs of the client, so, or of the user. So, you know, we're changing the name to Microsoft Application Virtualization because in Microsoft naming land, we're typically very descriptive in our names, and the grid moniker seemed to conflict with HPC, High Performance Computing, which is more of our grid solution.
Right.
So we're putting it to try and, you know, really reflect the term of art that's coming into the market.
I don't know. I think that name's still a little short. Maybe we need to add a foundation or a services or something there as well.
I know, more syllables, please. Welcome to Microsoft naming. Although Silverlight is fantastic, I would love to move down those lines. However, the name, I think the name is pretty good.
on another show on .NET Rocks, when we interviewed Brad Abrams about Silverlight, he said, well, there's a tradition at Microsoft that either the code name is great and the product name is terrible, or the code name is terrible and the product name is great. So we gave it the code name Windows Presentation Foundation Extensions so that we got a great product name.
Some reverse psychology.
I'll take that under advisement for future naming.
There you go. It's a little secret to pass along.
Excellent.
So there's two things come to mind, two questions that I have for you as I'm sort of processing in my brain here the possibility of using this technology, whether tactically or strategically. One of those is, what limitations are there in terms of applications that you can virtualize? And then the second question is, what are the performance characteristics and impacts and things that I need to think about as an IT person when I'm going to roll it out? And you know what? Actually, a third question is, what do I need infrastructure-wise? What do I need in order to make this happen?
Right. So hopefully I can remember all three of those questions, as the 90s were tough on me.
Nice.
So I believe I'm sorry, can you repeat the first question?
Really just had to do with performance, with limitations on applications at first. First, just
right.
Take the apps.
So. You know, no technology is a silver bullet, and application virtualization is certainly not a silver bullet as well. There are a few limitations to what can be virtualized. So the first one, the basic rule is really, if we cannot start it, we cannot virtualize it. So that includes things like device drivers. And of course, we could start a device driver, but as of right now, it's outside of the purview of virtualization in the Microsoft solution. Anything that's boot time, anything that's part of the operating system, although we can do things like MDAC, .NET frameworks, things like that, but deeper level, we're not actually virtualizing the operating system, we're just virtualizing the application and its dependencies.
Yeah, you're not living anywhere near the kernel here, you're sitting up above that. So the OS has got to be fully up and running before you get to play.
Absolutely, but actually we do run very close to the kernel, but just not at boot time. It
right.
comes on later on in our drivers and services. And then something like Internet Explorer, which is very close to the operating system,
right.
you know, not part of it, but very, very close to the operating
yes.
system, we actually cannot virtualize Internet Explorer itself at this time. However, an important concept to understand in our technology is that any child process called or created from a virtual parent process will take on the characteristics of that virtual parent.
Interesting.
So if I, in the case of Internet Explorer, I can actually package, and packaging in our terminology is called sequencing. I can sequence a Java runtime environment, some different settings, different toolbar configurations, different start page for, let's say, a web application. But then when I launch that web application, I'll call local iExplorer.exe. And then when Internet Explorer, in that instance, when that process is created, it will be created to see the virtual environment and be presented to the user in a completely different way. So that it will have its specific Java runtime environment that we sequence with it, its different settings, its different start page, all of those things. But when I launch the normal Internet Explorer icon, it will bring up IE as it natively runs on that Windows client.
So the version of IE that's installed on that Windows client. So you know,
correct.
So
if I'm a
web QA shop and I want to be able to virtualize different versions of browsers for QA testing, then it sounds like Internet Explorer, at least right now so far, is not something that you can virtualize those multiple versions of. Is that accurate?
Well, not with application virtualization, but
there are other ways.
Remember,
yeah.
we have multiple virtualization solutions, so
right,
really
right.
you would use, you know, a Hyper-V or a virtual server or a virtual PC
gotcha.
Technology to do that.
Right. And that's a good way to do it right now. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think the next point had to do with performance. What are the performance considerations?
Right. Well, really, it's a very thin layer of virtualization that's occurring on the client. So there's really negligible performance considerations when you look at the actual runtime of the application. So you can break it down into a few things. First of all, there is page pool and non-page pool memory, so kernel-type memory. Well, if you look at an application when it gets installed, it puts registry keys into HKEY local machine, puts them into HKEY current user. And depending upon when those are brought into memory, all of those application settings, whether you use them or not, are brought into kernel memory. So if I load 50 applications on a client, all of the stuff in the registry comes into kernel memory at boot time for hklocal machine keys, and then at login time for hkeycurrent user keys. So that's a lot more memory overhead. However, in application virtualization, the virtual registry is created on the fly at runtime. Now, it's very rare, I would say, if ever, that you would use all 50 possible applications that you have deployed to you at once. You're probably going to use 3, 4, 5 of those, something like that. Well, let's say that you use, you know, even 10. Really, you're only bringing into kernel memory the actual registry keys and needed dependencies for those 10 applications as you run them. And then when you close the apps, that memory is cleaned up so that actually you keep a very efficient use of the operating system, because you're not always having everything you need into kernel memory for apps you may or may not use. So actually, when you look at memory, really the normal physical RAM usage is exactly the same that you would use, except you got about 15 megabytes for the normal client, our actual application virtualization client. But as far as the application runtime goes, it uses about the same physical RAM. It actually uses overall slightly less kernel memory, because you don't have all of the applications brought in, because they're only runtime constructs. If you look at CPU utilization, it's less than 1%. It's infinitesimal, really, when you're looking at performance. Now, launch times depend upon how large the actual virtual registry and how many COM objects you have, things like that. So when I do a launch of an application that's already been in cache, because we have a caching mechanism,
Okay. Then
you're looking at, you know, plus anywhere from 100 milliseconds to maybe a second, depending upon how much it needs to be constructed inside of the virtual environment. So, you know, it's just a little bit more time. However, when you're delivering the application for the first time, you have to deliver enough of the app to actually run that as our first order way of delivering that application. So if we're looking at something like, let's say, Office, and we have Office 2007, and we're delivering what we call our launch threshold. That's just enough of the applications to get the user to begin to work, and we'll call the rest on demand. Well,
Okay. That's
typically for all of the applications in that Office suite. It's about 50 megabytes. So when I click and launch on one of those applications, it will bring the launch threshold over for all of them. So when you're on a network, typically 100 meg and you're on the LAN, moving 50 meg is not that big of a deal. It's pretty fast. You're talking within, you know, 10 seconds, something like that. And then the application launches and all the other applications launch subsequently right away, because we have the threshold for all of them. But that first launch time, you're looking at probably, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 seconds in this example to get the application over and then have it launch. Now, in reality, like, that's during, you know, a time when the user is seeing that, they see a progress bar, all of those things. Of course, that's a lot longer than it would be just to launch a normally locally installed application. However, if we look behind the scenes of what we're actually doing, that app's not present on that system. So anywhere from 10 to 20 seconds to bring over an entire functionality of the Office suite and be able to access that is pretty amazing, short amount of time to make that functionality available.
So just to be clear, what you're saying is, well, I guess I'm not sure what you're saying, so I just want to ask. You're saying that the first time I do that, it's going to take the 10 to 20 seconds or what have you. Subsequent, running the Office suite subsequent to that, are you caching some of that information as well and then checking to see if it's changed on your centralized system? Or if I, you know, reboot my machine and come back up and fire it up again, am I going to have to reload it again?
Option A.
Okay.
And you picked right up on it. So there's a cache that's a hard drive cache that's non-volatile. So Right. Once I've streamed something once, then the next time I access it, it'll still check centrally to see if there's updates. If there's no updates, it just pulls right from that local cache. Boom, the application pops right up, and it feels just like a locally installed application. If there is an update, we'll actually stream just the delta differences between what was updated on the package and what's in the local cache. So we don't even have to bring down whole files and all of that sort of stuff. So again, it's once it's cached, away you go. But there's another option inside of there as well, and that's pre-caching. So we have options to say, all right, when I have an application published to me, just background stream that entire application. But what's really cool about that is because I have that launch threshold technology and capability, I can launch an application and use it as it's streaming down in the background. I don't have to wait for the whole thing to come down and then, you know, typically have it installed and all of those sorts of things. I can use it as it's being delivered to me in the background. Beyond that, I can actually clip the network cable, take my laptop with those virtual apps and go offline and use that, those virtual applications. And there is a timeout value for making the user reconnect back to the network and things like that. But now I can take virtualized applications and roam freely on airplanes and have that capability available to me.
Right, and you're providing the IT, the infrastructure side of things to be able to patch it or to update the system, whatever. That actually kind of takes us to that third point real quickly. From an infrastructure standpoint, if I am not doing any of this right now and I want to deploy it for the first time in my business, then what am I looking at? What are some of the requirements and what is it, you know, can, maybe you can describe what it quote unquote looks like to the, to the guy.
Sure. Well, there's really a few different modes to consider. The first one is the basic connected mode. So we have a management server. We also have a streaming server. Those can work together. And actually the management server has a streaming component as part of it. If you want to do a centralized environment, connect those, and connect clients to that central environment stream applications, you're looking at a server. And of course it can be load balanced for redundancy. You have a database, Microsoft SQL Server. And then you have Active Directory to do the assignment. And of course the normal client to connect in and get those applications. So once you sequence the applications, package them, and you can use your existing MSIs, repackaged MSIs, all those things, and put them into our sequencer, and you'll get the proper format. You simply add them to that system, publish them through Active Directory, and then the user gets them. Now, that's the basic connected mode. We start looking at other modes as well. We just announced our beta for System Center 2007 R2, and that actually has application virtualization integrated into Config Manager 2007 R2. So there's a separate package that says, you know, the virtual application package. You can do publishing and all of those things natively through SCCM. There's also a third option, which is standalone mode. Standalone mode puts the client into essentially a standalone option where I can deliver virtual applications with an MSI file as a control point that simply imports the application and publishes the shortcut. And then when you double-click the shortcut, it doesn't have to talk to any server. The virtual application just runs.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. That's interesting.
Yeah, now you look at all of those and you can start combining the different capabilities into whatever suits the needs of the enterprise or the upper mid-market customer. Depends on, you know, what the situation calls for. We have some customers that use SMS today or SCCM R1, you know, 2007, and they use the MSI standalone option, deploy virtual apps, and they're done. You know, you have people with have the doctor out in the Congo. You know, they get their airdrop once a month, and hey, they need some updated applications. There's no IT staff, there's no network, right? They can simply take those MSI controlled virtual apps, put them on a DVD or a CD, put them as part of that airdrop. When the doctor gets it, they simply put it in their laptop, click the MSI, and it imports that virtual app. And because of the virtualization, you now have the highest chance of success for that application to work. Because if you have a conflict or something like that, that doctor's not going to be able to know what to do. They're cut off. But with app virtualization, it just comes in, it's published, and away they go.
Chad, this jumps back to your original thoughts around the whole strategic versus tactical approach. I'm interested, how did the customers first get involved with this product? It seems to me that it would be an initial tactical issue, like two conflicting apps that need to be deployed.
Right. Well, it just depends on what the customer is looking at. Application virtualization now has been making its way out. Certainly not a household name at this point. But we have some customers that are very savvy, certainly the Wall Street customers and some people in our financial services, pharmaceuticals, things like that, that have looked at it and they see the benefit right away from a strategic standpoint. So they go right from there. We have other customers that are like, oh, I've just got this problem. I have to solve my Oracle driver issue. They search around and they come across the technology and they say, great. But then when they start looking at it and we start to talk to them, you know, we open up the other possibilities. So sure, we solved their problem right from the get-go, and that satisfies what they need. But the beautiful thing is that once the system is in place, once you have the client, once you're delivering one app, then it's very easy to add additional applications to it. So now you have people who say, okay, well, I've delivered my Java runtime, my two Java runtime environments. I've delivered my couple apps with a couple different Oracle drivers. Oh, hey, you know what? I've got this new application I want to deploy. Do I want to go through the standard planning process of regression testing, installing, make sure it all works, you know, and then dealing with the 2% failure rate, you know, those types of things? Or do I just want to use it through Microsoft Application Virtualization and I know I can have it to my customers as soon as I'm done sequencing and through user acceptance testing? You know, and then at that point, it really starts to gain momentum to be putting these things into the application virtualization system.
I definitely see this as something that gets addictive, that you may go into with an initial problem and then realize, boy, I can do a lot here.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, we are down to the wire for time. Any final thoughts, Chad? Some resource pages we should be going to?
Absolutely. There's some great resources that you can look at to really see Microsoft's approach to virtualization as a whole. We call this approach our virtualization 360. Now, it's important to remember that virtualization has so many different facets to it that you can use them in concert together to really dramatically change how IT is managed. So if you go to www.microsoft.com/virtualization, that will show you all of our different virtualization products and how they can work together under the System Center umbrella of management to really have this contiguous experience for delivering multiple layers of virtualization, including application virtualization. Application virtualization for Microsoft specifically, you can go to www.microsoft.com/softgrid and be able to look at that technology specifically and get into the different technical resources as well.
Excellent. Chad Jones, thanks so much for your information around SoftGrid, now application virtualization. Obviously, lots more coming. We didn't even touch on the whole 2008 around this, I think, but maybe that's a whole other show.
Absolutely. And gentlemen, thank you very much for the opportunity. And to your listeners, thank you as well.
Thanks, Chad.
And we'll see you next time on Run As Radio.